Today is February 14th. We're learning Mishnah, Sarik Tilan, Sunday morning. And we are in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. We're studying Perek Revi'i, right, the fourth Perek. A Mishnah Dalet, the fourth Mishnah of the Perek. And before we get to the fourth Mishnah, let's just remember the earlier Mishnah in the Perek. Right, so you should have page 320 and 321 from last time. I just gave that to Jerry. Page 320 and 321. Mm-hmm. So the first Mishnah of the Perek began, right, and that's right over here, on page 320, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shachal Liot B'Shabbat. The holiday of Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbat, the Mikdash Ayu Tokim. They would blow in the Mikdash, the shofar, but not outside of the Mikdash. And then it said that when the temple was destroyed, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai decreed that they would do in many places that are not Mikdash what they used to do in the Mikdash. That was basically the content of Mishnayot 1 and 2.
There's also cake. There's a cake out there.
The third Mishnah was a Mishnah not related to this chapter, really, not related to this Masechet, but it continued that same theme of something that used to be in the Mikdash. And then Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai decreed to move what was in the Mikdash after the Mikdash to outside of the Mikdash. That was Lulav. And the third Mishnah said on page 321, right over here. Barishana hayu, haya halulav nital b'mikdash shiva. In the beginning, the Lulav used to be taken in the Mikdash 7 days. And it said outside the Mikdash, the Mikdash only won. When the Mikdash was destroyed, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai hitkin, he instituted to do outside of the Mikdash what used to be done in the Mikdash. And that's the background to our Mishnah today, which is Mishnah Dalet. Okay. The fourth, let's read it slowly. Barishona hayu mikablim edut achodesh Kol Hayom. Right. At the outset, they used to accept Eidut HaChodesh, right, testimony of the Chodesh, of the new moon, Kol Hayom, all day, all the day.
When time frame from the outset?
Apparently it means from time immemorial, as long as there was a Mikdash. They used to accept testimony all day.
From the first Beit HaMikdash.
If we assume that there was such a thing, the first Beit HaMikdash, then indeed.
Okay.
Pamachat, the last two words of the first line. Pamachat, one time. Nishtahu ha'edim milavo. Nishtahu means we're delayed. You see it as it's a passive, we're delayed. Shaha means to wait or delay. Nishtahu, we're delayed. Ha'edim milavo, the witnesses from to come. The witnesses were delayed. They didn't get there during the day. We'll read later when actually they got there. V'nitkalkalu ha'levi'im bashir. And got disrupted, the levi'im, in their shir. Like we know in the Beit Mikdash, there was shirah, there was song of levi'im, both around the morning korban, korban tamid shel shachar, and korban tamid shel bein arba'im, in the afternoon korban, there was levi'im sharim, singing. Together with the korban and the grain offering and the wine libation, there was shirah. And once upon a time, again, we're not understanding anything yet, we're just reading the words. Once upon a time, when the Edim got there late, the Levim nitkalkalu, something went wrong in their shirah because of the late hour that the witnesses came. And again, we don't understand. I'm not expecting you to think what's going on yet. We have to put all the little details together. Hitkinu shelo yehu mikablim ela ad mincha. Hitkinu, right? That's the language of takana. They made a takana because of this event that happened. Shalo Yehu Mikablim, that they won't be accepting, and of course what they're not accepting is the Edim, Ela Ad Mincha, until Mincha time, but not afterwards. There's a certain number of hours left to the end of the day, when if the Edim come, sorry, we can't accept you. Come back another time. We'll talk later what that means, come back another time. Vim Bao Edim Mina Mincha Velamala, and if did come the Edim from the Mincha and henceforth, whatever that is, when we said we can't accept them anymore, then Nohagin Oto Hayom Kodesh Ulamachar Kodesh. We Nohag, we customize, or we have the custom, right, or we behave Oto Hayom Kodesh, that day Kodesh, Ulamachar Kodesh, and the next day Kodesh as well. Again, what's going on? Not clear. Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash. Now we move to the new piece of paper I give out. Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash, and we've seen that phrase a number of times. From that was destroyed Beit HaMikdash. Notice, from the time that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, instituted, decreed, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheyu Mikablim Edut HaChodesh Kol Hayom, that they will now accept the testimony of the new moon all day. All day. And then the second part of the Mishnah is a whole different subject. So we have to figure out what's going on. Let's see what we read so far. We read that they used to accept Edut HaChodesh all day. And then once upon a time, Edim came late, and something went wrong because of that in the song of the Levites. So they made a decree that we'll only accept from this point on the Edim from a certain time in the afternoon and before that, but not after that. And if Edim came after that, then what we do is today's holy and tomorrow's holy. And when the temple was destroyed and there's no longer Levim, there's no need for the decree, so we go back to the old situation in which we accept Edut HaChodesh, we accept the testimony for the new moon all day. So now, what is going on? What are they talking about? Like, it looks like they're not telling us the main subject, and we have to figure it out. So let's see if my questions can help us figure it out. First question. Let's see, I put in the table of question sheets. From which earlier Mishnah do we see clearly that indeed what did we learn earlier? That at the beginning they would accept testimony of the new moon all day. We had a Mishnah that once talked about that. That it goes on to the very, 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 very last moment of the day. Anyone remember?
You out there.
I don't remember. I'm looking. I'm frantically.
Yeah. When we were talking about who would be qualified to give testimony, and or the time, the
it was in that framework. But yeah. Remember what the Mishnah said. It's been a long time ago, and you don't have the all the sheets organized, right? So you can't just flip through it. But Paul can flip through it. The Mishnah that I'm referring to is the first Mishnah, the third Perek. Are you almost there?
Uhu Beit Din V'chol Yisrael Nechkaru Edim V'chol Amar Mikdash.
That's it. Ad Chashecha.
Ah.
Ad
Shechashecha.
So they saw the new moon, the Beit Din all Yisrael, and the Edim were interrogated, and they didn't manage to say Nikudash until it got dark. So you see, they're accepting witnesses to the very last minute.
Uh-huh.
The sun was just about to go down, and they just missed it. So you see, they're accepting witnesses to the last minute. And that, why not? Why not accept witnesses to the last minute? But our Mishnah points out a problem with accepting witnesses to the last minute. We have to understand what the problem is. We haven't really understood yet. Let's look at another question that I asked. The second question. What connects this Mishnah to the earlier Mishnayot in this chapter? So that's easy. Hey, can you say it?
The structure of, we used to do it before the destruction, and now we do it differently. And the same Rabbi Yochanan.
Right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Jerry.
I have a question. I don't mean to sound but if Hashem made the world run according to certain laws, why would there be even a need for witnesses, that's always been my question, witnesses to witness the full moon, because it's always happened, except for once in a blue moon, faithfully, night and day for years and years, ever since creation,
Well, you're missing a lot of background that we dealt with for the past few months. But to make a long story short, the Torah, which means God, hands over to the Jewish people responsible for deciding when the new moon is. It doesn't depend solely on nature or on God. It depends on us. Whenever we declare it's a new moon, it's a new moon. If we don't declare it, it's not. That's the halacha. And we saw some very fascinating material on that subject. But for now, you just have to accept the framework that that's the way it is. It's given over to the sages, the representatives of the Jewish people, to decide when the new moon is. Like day and night, there's no question. The day begins according to the sun. But when the month begins, that depends on the decision of the Jewish people.
Oh, okay.
So, like Brooke said, all the Mishnayot in this chapter are talking about something that used to be and was changed, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the innovator, and it's always about transferring what used to be in the Mikdash to outside of the Mikdash when there's no longer a Mikdash. But however, note, as I wrote in the third question, that our Mishnah is a bit different. The other two cases in this chapter are, like I said, of transferring after destruction, mm-hmm. what was in the Mikdash to outside of it. Mm-hmm. Our Mishnah is the opposite. It's about undoing what was done in the Mikdash when the Mikdash was destroyed. It's a little bit different. But it's the same Yochanan ben Zakkai, the same right. framework of used to be and now it's changed.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And it gives a specific example of a problem
right.
that's new.
Yeah.
So what is there... It's not whether day or night, it's just when to declare a new moon that Hashem gave the Jewish people.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
we don't have the right of deciding when the day begins. That's given.
Yes.
That's given.
Yes, okay.
Now we're going to get closer to understanding the content of our Mishnah itself in question four. Putting aside the first two Mishnayot of the tractate, putting those two aside, what two general subjects have been discussed in this tractate? Well, it's very simple. There's only two subjects that came up in the whole tractate.
Shofar and Lulav.
In the tractate.
Oh.
You're saying in the Perek.
In the Perek, yeah.
In the whole tractate, the whole Masechet, putting aside the first two Mishnayot, which talked about, remember, there are four New Years, and then four times the world is judged, only two subjects, in the most broadest general sense. What are they? You know. You certainly know.
The timing of the Edim.
And right. One subject is the Edim for the new moon. And the other subject was? I'll give you a hint. What? The matter of the witnesses of the new moon happens 12 times a year. The other subject happens only once a year.
Tugish, huh?
Yeah, he wasn't even here and he knows.
Hey, Kala Tugish Shavat, that's New Year for
right,
priests.
Right.
No, but I said, putting aside the first two Mishnayot that discuss, there are four New Years, our whole chapter has discussed only two subjects so far. Right? One is all the laws concerning the witnesses to the new moon, and that's 12 times a year. And the other was the laws of Rosh Hashanah, specifically the Shofar. And in our chapter, what happens when Rosh Hashanah falls in Shabbat, whether you do with the blowing of the Shofar, only two subjects. And the truth is, those are the only two subjects in this whole Masechet. Two basic subjects. So now, my question is as follows. Finally, getting to our Mishnah. If those are the two subjects in the Masechet, we have to figure out which of those two subjects is the subject of our Mishnah today. Because it's not clear. It's not clear if our Mishnah is dealing with subject number one or subject number two. All right, so let's look at the Mishnah again. And I'll just paraphrase it. In the beginning, they used to accept testimony for the new moon all day. Once upon a time, the Adim came late, and the Levi'im got mixed up in their singing. So they made a decree that we won't accept witnesses until the Minchatan. And if witnesses come after that, then that day is holy, and the next day is holy, whatever that means. When the temple was destroyed, then Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai decreed that we should go back to the original situation of accepting witnesses all day. So the question is, are we talking here about 12 times a year, or are we talking about once a year? That's the first question we have to figure out in this Mishnah. It's not 100% clear, but it's 99.9% clear. What's the answer?
Rosh Hashanah.
And how do you know? You're right. How do you know?
Because we wouldn't have two holy days on Shabbos. Once, 12 times, or whatever.
Even more than, there's no such thing as a holy day if it's Rosh Chodesh 12 times a year.
Uh-huh.
It's a holy day, only Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah is talking about Rosh Hashanah. Which means when it talks about accepting the witnesses, it's talking about accepting the witnesses not 12 times a year, but rather a specific time. Specific time, once a year, Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so with that information, we have to start thinking about Rosh Hashanah. So let's think what day of the year these witnesses are coming. What month is it?
Elul.
Right, you didn't fall in the trap. It's not yet Tishrei. The question is it going to be Tishrei? The month is Elul. What day of the month of Elul is this whole Mishnah taking place? It's not hard. It's not a trick question. You know that all Hebrew months have either X or Y number of days, right? Either
28 or 29?
Oh, no. 29 or 30. There's always at least 29 days. There's always at least 29 days. So the day the witnesses, that we're waiting for the witnesses, what day is it?
The 28th? It's the 29th?
The witnesses are...
No. Each month has to have at least 29 days, right? Because each month is either 29 or 30. So the witnesses wouldn't come on the 29th, because that would make the 29th into the first or the next, which means that previous only had 28. That can't be. So what's the one day of the month that we're waiting for the witnesses to come? Is it the 27th?
The
30th. It's the 30th. It's the 30th. And the question is, will today be the 30th, or will it be the first of the next month, meaning that the previous had only 29? So that means our Mishnah is taking place on the 30th of Elul. This Mishnah is relevant only to one day a year. Now we learned in the past that Rosh Hashanah is the most problematic holiday in a certain sense, more than Yom Kippur, more than Sukkot, more than Pesach, more than Shavuot, because it falls on the first day of a month. But you very often don't know it's the first day of the month until the end of the day. Right? Because today, again, is the 30th of Elul. The question is today the 30th of Elul, or is today the 1st of Tishrei? We'll know that only when the witnesses come. Witnesses are only accepted in the daytime, not at nighttime. Let's say the witnesses come as early as they can. They come at 6 a.m. in the morning when the sun comes up on the 30th. But if it's the declare new moon, which means it's Rosh Hashanah. It means for 12 hours already, it's been Rosh Hashanah. So Lima Freya, which means retroactively, it's been Rosh Hashanah. We didn't even know it. Now, it might not be. Witnesses might not come. Therefore, since it might be Rosh Hashanah today, and it might not, what are we going to do to protect ourselves?
Daven Rosh Hashanah.
Forget about davening. That's a minor issue.
2 days.
Okay, you're right. And what does that mean right now, tonight? Let's say it's right now. The sun has just gone down. And it's the beginning of the 30th of Elul. What am I going to do? What am I not going to do? I'm not going to do melacha. Because it might be that tomorrow morning this will be retroactively declared Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Mishnah says when it says Nogim Oto Yom Kodesh. We act towards this day Kodesh even though we don't know. So that has to be the law of every single Rosh Hashanah. When it becomes the 30th of Elul, when the sun goes down, even though you don't know what will happen, will witnesses come up tomorrow? And if they come, will they be accepted? Will it be declared Rosh HaChodesh, which is Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. But I have to know Heg Oto HaYom Kodesh, just to be safe.
I was going to davening because, I mean, we're talking about interrupting the shir. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there, I mean, there seems to be two different things. One is, you know, keeping the day holy. The other is going through the
procedures.
The procedures,
right,
that it would be if it was.
You're right. But just to put things in perspective, whether you do melacha, don't do melacha is much more important than whether you come to shul and say the davening or not, right? And all the more so 2,000 years ago, and who knows what davening there was at all. There was a little bit, but certainly not what we have today. And certainly not in the evening. Right? There was the Musaf, which we're going to learn about, with just in the daytime. I'm not saying they didn't daven at all, but what we have today, they certainly did not have. Okay, so we figured that out.
I was just going to say, that's interesting, because, you know, from my background, when I, you know, grew up in a culture that there are a lot of Jews still, that only go to shul, you know, on high holidays, okay? You know, J-date, for instance. I mean, there's things you check off. You go to shul. You go to shul every Shabbos. Some Shabboses only on high holidays. Not at all, okay? So only on high holidays is, you know, is a practice. And so certainly, you know, in that for those people, you know, keeping, you know, what you're saying, you know, the keeping the day holy. Would not be considered as important as going to shul.
So I understand.
Is there a category for what you eat at Kiddush on the J date? Sushi, for example, right. Gefilte fish, fresh fish.
Right, right. Uni, unagi, shrimp.
Right. Okay. Remember, all this is being recorded.
All I know. You recognize my voice.
Okay, so that's the custom every Rosh Hashanah. Do we keep it holy as far as Isur Melacha goes from the beginning of the 30th of Elul when the sun goes down? And then let's think what would happen. Let's say that, putting the Mishnah aside, let's say that this day, the 30th, the witnesses came in the morning and the Beit Din would say Mikudash, Mikudash. That would mean, it was good that we kept the prohibition of melacha from last night, because it does turn out to be Rosh Hashanah. And now, at the end of this day, after 25 hours of Isur Melacha, when the sun goes down, Rosh Hashanah is over. Right? It was Rosh Hashanah, Yom Echad, mm-hmm. One day. What would happen, though, if the witnesses didn't come? It was 12 in the morning, didn't come. 1 in the morning, didn't come. Well, we're still holding the day Kodesh, because they might come another minute. Another hour, another 2 hours. 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon, 6 in the afternoon. They didn't come. When the sun goes down, what do we do? Or what don't we do when the sun goes down?
So don't do melacha.
Don't do melacha, because it turns out that today, that just ended, wasn't Rosh Hashanah, even though we kept it as if it was, but it wasn't. It turned out to be just the 30th of Elul, which means that tomorrow, when the sun goes down, is certainly Rosh Hashanah, because it could only be today or tomorrow. It could only be the 30th of the previous month, or the 31st. There's not more leeway than that. There's only a two-day window. So if the day we just held to be Rosh Hashanah wasn't, then tomorrow certainly is. Which means that according to this, if someone asks you, in the time of the temple in Jerusalem, did they keep one day of Rosh Hashanah or two? The answer is, sometimes one and sometimes two. Depends on the circumstances. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So how about blowing the shofar or saying other things that, you know, doing other things that would, aside from not doing melacha, you know, which is a passive kind of thing, you could choose not to do, say.
Right.
What would happen with, could you potentially have missed your opportunity for blowing the shofar?
It's a good question. The literature says that in 99% of the cases, the witnesses came on the 30th of Elul, which means they had a chazakah. It was clear to them that it's just about always going to be that on this day, the 30th of Elul, is Rosh Hashanah, which means it only happened once. The tradition only happened once in the whole time of the Second Temple that Rosh Hashanah was 2 days. The option was always there that it would happen, but it never happened except for once, according to the tradition. And they certainly did assume that this day was Rosh Hashanah, and they blew the shofar. What would happen if the witnesses didn't come? Then have to blow the shofar a second time.
But did they say a bacha at the time of blowing the shofar? Was that an issue?
I guess that they said the bracha with the chazakah, that it's probably Rosh Hashanah, because that's the way it always worked out, that this month of Elul was always chaser. Remember that phrase, chaser? Was always only 29. So the 30th day is really the first the next month, and on the basis of that chazakah, they blew the shofar. And said the bracha, because otherwise, they would have never said the bracha.
Well, they would have if...
And not only did they say the bracha, they also said musaf, with all the brachot of musaf. On this day.
I guess there in the time of the Bais HaMikdash, you have all the other issues of the potentially inappropriate korbanot.
Which we're going to talk about. Indeed.
Why, so now that we have, at least outside of Israel, 2 days, you know, additional time added on to the Chagim, why would that be necessary for holidays in Tishrei? So in Yom Kippur, we don't, and it wouldn't be. You've already got a first of the month declared. But why for Sukkot do you need a second day in Galut? If you've already got that month at least set, then you certainly should know, whenever it is, you certainly should know when the first day of Sukkot is. There's no ambiguity because of arrival of witnesses or anything like that.
In other words, you're basing yourself on the chazakah that I just said, that we are 99% sure when the first of Tishrei is.
No, even apart from that, you've got the first of that particular month declared.
But perhaps you don't. And if you live in Babylonia,
then would there not be enough time between when, supposing they did, so between the declaration of the first of the month and the, what is it, I guess, 15th?
Yeah.
So there wouldn't be necessarily enough time to get word that which day is the first of the month.
That's what we had always been talking about, right? That there's not enough time for word to come in the diaspora, and that's why they held 2 days.
Oh yeah, I guess so. It also applies for Pesach. So okay, we should also be 2 weeks. And okay.
Now, to tell you the truth, is this the whole thing of Rosh Hashanah being 2 days? It would seem to make sense on the basis of what I just said, right? Because we don't know. But did you ever notice in the calendar what 2 days of the year we celebrate as Rosh Hashanah?
First and the second of Tishrei.
The first and the second of Tishrei.
Not
but that doesn't make any sense. Mm. We should be celebrating the 30th of Elul and the first of Tishrei, because the 30th of Elul, that's the day that might have been the first. Why do we do what we do today? There's many theories. It doesn't. The first comes to shove, it doesn't make too much sense. It's completely crazy when you think about it. Sure. We could have a whole class about trying to understand how this minhag developed, but it doesn't make that much sense on the face of things.
Yeah.
We celebrate Rosh Hashanah the wrong days. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make sure we don't get caught in the safek. We do 2 days, but it's the wrong 2 days. Okay, that's kind of an aside, right? Don't tell anyone I said to keep 3 days. Okay, so now we can go back to the Mishnah with the information we have and start understanding even more. So, reading the Mishnah again. Barishonah hayu mekablim edut chodesh kol hayom. They used to accept edut chodesh all day, and that's true for every month of the year. But the specific problem and the specific decree here is only for Rosh Hashanah. So it appears. Pam echad, once upon a time, the Edim were delayed. So usually the Edim would come at 6 in the morning, 8 in the morning, 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning, and that would confirm to us that what we've been holding as Rosh Hashanah since last night was correct. But the Edim came late, and then the Levi'im got mixed up in their Shirah. Now let's think what that means. It means as follows. There's a Korban in the morning, a Korban in the afternoon. The Korban of the morning, which is right in the beginning of the morning, the Levi'im for that Korban would always sing the song of a non-holy day. Remember, we say in davening every morning at Shacharit, every day we have a different Shir Shalom. And the Levim would sing the Shir Shalom of that day. They wouldn't sing the song of Rosh Hashanah. Because even though they knew it was going to become Rosh Hashanah when the Edim come, at that point in the morning the Edim had never come. So they had to sing the Shir Shal Chol. But in the afternoon Korban, in every single case, the Edim had always come by then, and we knew it was Rosh Hashanah. So the Edim would always in the afternoon Korban sing the Shir Shal Rosh Hashanah, which was a special Shir. But this year, a particular year, the Edim didn't come yet, and the Levim didn't know what song to sing. And there's a machluk at what happened. If some say they sang nothing, and that's what it means that they got mixed up, or some say that they did this song of Chol instead of doing Rosh Hashanah, which they did every year, because the Edim hadn't come.
Normally they'd sing that twice.
Normally they'd sing the Shir Shal Chol in the morning, the Shir Shal Hashanah in the afternoon.
The day before or any other day, they would sing the same song in the morning.
Oh yeah, every year, right. In the Mikdash, they would sing the same song twice, in the morning and in the afternoon, most days. The Shir Shal Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. So Levim got mixed up. And then it says, Hitkinu shalo yehu mekablim ela ademincha. So they made a takana that the Edim won't be accepted on Rosh Hashanah, right, on, I should say, the 30th Elul, ever, after the mincha time. We'll discuss in a minute. Let's say it right now. When is mincha time? Do you know mincha gdola and mincha ktana? Have you heard that? The big mincha and the little mincha? So
it's based on halachic time.
Right, based on halachic time. So we have mincha gedola is 6.5 hours. Right, the day is divided into 12 equal parts. From the sun going down, the sun coming, got it wrong, sun going up and sun coming down, 12 equal parts. The middle of the day is 6, obviously, what we would call noon. And mincha gedola, the big mincha, is 6.5. What is special at 6.5, that's the earliest possible time that we can offer the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Ha'arbaim, the daily Korban of the afternoon. It's 6.5 hours. It's the earliest we can offer it. It's the beginning of the afternoon. And it was only done that early once a year, on Erev Pesach. an Erev Pesach. Because you had to do it first, and afterwards they had to bring all the Korbanot Pesach, which took a long, long, long time. So they moved up the Mincha offering, the afternoon offering, to 6.5 hours. But the normal time that we offer the Korban Tamid Shelbein Habayim, the afternoon regular sacrifice, daily sacrifice, is 9.5 hours. And that's called Mincha Ktana. 9.5 is Mincha Ktana. So when it says in the Mishnah that they made a decree that we don't accept witnesses after Mincha, it means after Mincha Ktana, after 9.5 hours. Remember, the day is altogether 12 hours, so 9.5 is 2.5 before the sun goes down. Something 4 o'clock, approximately, depending, of course, when the sun goes down. But it gives the witnesses all day, which is enough. So why did we do this? Because by the time the Mincha comes, and the Levim are singing, we want the Levim to know what song to sing. So we tell them, if the witnesses have come by now, sing the song of Rosh Hashanah. If they haven't come, you can be certain we're not going to accept them. Today's not Rosh Hashanah, so sing Shir Shel Chol. That's what they did. And then it says, a line and a half from the end of the page, in the text at the top, Vim bao edim min mincha v'lamala. And if the edim did come from the mincha and henceforth, we don't accept them. But what do we do with the day? There's these edim waiting to say today's Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to listen to them. So what do we do? So it says, Nohagim oto ayom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. Right? We behave today kodesh and machar kodesh. So I asked on the sheet the following question.
Just on the translation, the very first part of that sentence is, if they come after Mincha? If they come
after Mincha, we don't accept them.
Okay.
And what do we do?
Yeah.
We behave today Kodesh and Mahar Kodesh. So we're now in question 10 and 11. According to the Takana, what happens with the Edim who come after Mincha? What's going to happen with them? It's a trick question. I mean, the answer is simple.
They're just not accepted.
Yeah, nothing happens. In other words, they came to Jerusalem for nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't say they can give the testimony tomorrow, because the testimony is not needed tomorrow. Tomorrow's automatically. Right? If it's not today, then it's automatically tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh. So there's no need for them. We tell them, go home. You missed the boat. Question 11. When the Mishnah says, Oto Hayom Kodesh Ulamachar Kodesh, which of the two is the Chidush? Today is Kodesh and Machar is Kodesh. Which of those two points is because we didn't accept the Edim, and which of them would have been anyway?
Otoyom
is Mimele. That's going to be in any case. But Machar is the Chidush. If we would accept the Edim, then today would be Kodesh, Machar would be Chol. Right? But because we don't accept them, we also have to make Machar Kodesh. Now I'll ask you a trick question. It's a point of confusion. So this day, the 30th Elul, we've been holding it as Kodesh since last night, waiting for the Edim to come. As soon as the Edim come, they will verify the fact that today is indeed Kodesh. If they don't come, then today is Kodesh, because we thought they'd come, they didn't come. And tomorrow is Kodesh, because automatically, if it wasn't today, it's tomorrow. That's clear. But now just think, before the Takana, if it's 10 minutes before the sun goes down on the 30th, we're still hoping they'll come. So we're still hoping today's Rosh Hashanah. And if they don't come, we'll have to do tomorrow also. But according to the Takana, once the Mincha comes, 9.5 hours, we know we're not going to accept them anymore. If they didn't come, then we know for certain today's not Rosh Hashanah. Can we now go out and ride our motorcycles? Hear the question? Why not? Why not go out and ride motorcycles? Because it's not yet Rosh Hashanah. In other words, the takana causes a certain window of time that becomes now paradoxically whole. It would never happen without the takana, because without the takana, you always hope another minute they'll come. And you're hoping until the sun goes down. But now that we know we can't accept them for the 2 hour, 2.5 hour period, you think you could do anything. So apparently the answer is no. Because if we were allow everyone to now go to a motorcycle party, that would cast aspersions on the Isur Melacha they'd been holding for the past 22 hours. They'd say it was all for naught. And that might cause people the next year not to do the Isur Melacha. So apparently Chazal said, once you start an Isur Melacha, you have to hold it to give the feeling that it was Kodesh. In other words, it becomes a takana that Rosh Hashanah that year is 2 years. It's not that the first day we held by mistake. Right? The takana is you always hold that day. That's a takanat Chazal. But that day is Kodesh by definition. And you can't go out and ride your motorcycle after the mincha, after the witnesses are certainly not coming. But you just have to add, the second day is also going to be Kodesh. So which means that sometimes you have Rosh Hashanah one day, sometimes you have 2 days. And this takana is going to cause there to be a higher percentage of times that you have 2 days. Because it's disallowing the witnesses that come after 9.5 hours. But it's still going to be rare they can have 2 days, according to the way it works out astronomically. At this particular month, almost always, it's pretty easy to sight the new moon already on the 30th. So you have only one day of Rosh Hashanah. But sometimes it'll happen. But then when the Mikdash was destroyed, there's no need for this takana, because there's no Levi'im anyway. So they went back to the system of accepting witnesses to the last minute of the 30th, which gives even more of a chance that there won't be a second day. And apparently it looks like that even in the time of Yavne, after the destruction of the temple, and the Sanhedrin moved to Yavne, they were still keeping Rosh Hashanah just one day. In Eretz Yisrael. Uh-huh. So the question is, when did the Minhag develop of keeping it even two days in Eretz Yisrael? That's a different question. Okay. With all that, we now get to what to me seems to be one of the most difficult questions in this Mishnah, which is the following. Why does the Mishnah focus on the shear of the Levi'im as the flashpoint that late witnesses might cause as a problem? Why is it the shear of the Levi'im? I can think of greater problems caused by delayed witnesses. And we've mentioned some of it here. It's not just what they're going to say, it's what korbanot you're going to bring in the Mikdash. That's a bigger question. Wouldn't you think? The Levim, their shira is not mandated in the Torah, what they have to sing. Let them sing whatever they want. I mean, it's a big deal, but it's not a very big deal. It's not Doraita. But the korbanot are Doraita. What korbanot are you going to bring if you don't know if it's Rosh Hashanah or not?
Maybe there's some bugs in the system that cause a lot of people to be late in being witnesses, and maybe they got to debug the system.
Okay, but we're asking, what are the bugs? And the Mishnah says the bug is with the Levim, but I'm saying, why is that the bug? I can think of bigger bugs. Not only bugs, but animals, but in the system, monsters. Not just Levim singing, but what korbanot to bring? Because what korbanot are they going to bring? In the morning, they think it's Rosh Hashanah, but they're not sure. What are they going to do then? And in the afternoon, what korbanot then? I mean, why is the problem just the Levim? So to deal with this, I brought the Chumash. The answer is in the Chumash, actually.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to guess, but now the answer that there's a specific answer, it doesn't matter. But I was going to say that it's symbolic of
you know, all the process that has to go on, that there's groups of people working together, there's something to be listened to,
Yeah, it's a simple answer.
Yeah, okay.
So, can I have the chumash over? Oh, take this one. So, actually, the answer is in the parsha that we began reading this morning, the parsha of the Korbanot of Rosh Chodesh, which we just say is Rosh Chodesh. Uh-huh. It fits. So this is Parshat Pinchas, which is Bamidbar, chapter 28. In the sheet I prepared, it's on, it's in B. So this is Bamidbar, Chafchet, 28. I thought about this a long time on Shabbat, until I realized the answer is right in the Chumash. Again, the question is, why doesn't the Mishnah focus on the problematics of what Korbanah to bring, instead of focusing on what would seem to be minor, the matter of the Levim? Yeah, I only brought four Chumashim. So we're going to look at Bamidbar, verses 1 to 4, 11 to 15, and then the next chapter, the first six verses. So 1 to 4, I'll read it in Hebrew, and the English is right here. It's on page 890. Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe l'mor. Sav et b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleihem. Et korbani lach mili shai reach nichochi tishmu lakriv li b'mordo. V'amart aleihem ze ha'ishe asher takrivu l'Adonai kvasim b'nei shana timimim shnaim liyom olatami. Two lambs a day, every single day of the year, 365 days. At the keves echad taseh v'boker, the first keves bring in the morning, but the keves hasheni taseh bein arbaim, that's all. And the second one in the bein arbaim in the afternoon, two kvasim, two lambs every single day of the year, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And then verse 11, on the same page, yud aleph, 11, yud aleph, bottom of the page, uvrashei chod shechem, and on your new moons, takrivu ola ladunai, make an ola, parim b'nei bakar shnaim, two parim, ba'il echad, kvasim b'nei shana, shivat timimim. One aisle, seven kvasim, ushlosha sunim solin, it says what to bring with it, to bring the grain offering with it, and then it says to put oil in it, and then it says in verse 13, what to bring with it. Verse 14 says what to bring with it. The most important verse for us now is verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Usi rizim achad lechatat ladonai," and you bring all with this a chatat offering, a seir. And then look at the next few words, "Al olat hatamid," in addition to the regular offering. That is, on Rosh Chodesh, it's not that you offer Rosh Chodesh offering in place of the normal offering, rather in addition to. Okay? Now, look at the offerings of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah offerings are in chapter 29, verses 1 to 6. Chapter 29, 1 to 6, page 894 at the top. Uvechodesh ha-shvi'i, the seventh month, v'chad v'chodesh, the first of the month, Mikra Kodesh Elechem. It's a holiday. Kol Melechet Avodah Lo Tasu. Don't do any work. Yom Tchua Yelechem. A day of blowing you will have. Then it says the korbanot to bring. In verse Bet it says what korbanot you have to bring. And in verse Gimel it says what korbanot to bring. And it goes on in verse Dalet. And in verse Hey it says. And now look at verse Vav. Verse 6. Milvad. In addition to, the Rosh Hashanah offering is in addition to Olat HaChodesh, the Rosh Chodesh offering, Uminchata, and its grain offering, Volat HaTamid, in addition to the regular daily 365 day a year offering. End. So now, how did this solve our question? It solved our question.
So there's just additional things to bring
Right. It's not in place of, it's an addition, which means you don't have any problems. You wake up in the morning, you don't know if it's Rosh Hashanah, if it's Rosh Chodesh, if it's a normal day. Fine, bring the normal day offering. Yeah, you have to do it in any case. And the Rosh Hashanah offering and the Rosh Chodesh, wait until you know. You can wait until the last minute. Remember, it said that the daily offering has a morning and an afternoon. But the Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Hashanah doesn't have morning and afternoon. It doesn't give a time. You have all day. So just wait and see. Whereas the Shira, the Levi'im, is an either-or proposition. It's not a this plus this. It's either-or. Either it's Chol or it's Kodesh. So in the morning of the 30th of Elul, the only korbanot being brought in the Beit Mikdash is the regular korban of every single day. Because we don't know if it's Rosh Chodesh and if it's Rosh Shana. But we're living by the sing. That's the question. That's the question. Because they sing either Kodesh or Chol. So as I said an hour ago when we started, in the morning offering, they sing Chol. The Korban is a Korban of Chol. And they sing Chol. They don't yet know if it's Rosh Hashanah. But in the afternoon, what happened every year is that they used to bring already in the afternoon the Korban of Rosh Hashanah, because the witnesses always come by then, and the living would sing of Rosh Hashanah. But this particular year, the witnesses didn't come, so the Kohanim brought only the afternoon offering of Chol, and they didn't yet bring Rosh Hashanah, they're waiting for the witnesses. And that's fine. Just wait and see. And the witnesses don't come, so you just don't bring the Korban of Rosh Hashanah. But the Levim didn't know what to do. Because every year, at this point, they'd always sang Kodesh, and they knew that if they sang Chol, and then came the witnesses, they couldn't sing now Kodesh, they just sang Chol. What are they going to do? So they're completely mixed up. So the Kohanim had no problem with the Korbanot, they're just waiting. But the Levim have an either-or proposition, they were in trouble.
Well, but not really, because it's not mandated, so they sing that, and then they sing the Kodesh. You know, why?
That's right, so they didn't want to be confused, but you're right. Again, Levim, it's an either-or proposition, but it's not Doraita. But it's still, on the level of the Rabban, on the level of the Minhag, you sing one song, but which do you sing? You're right, it's not a major issue, but it's still more of an issue than the Korbanot. The Korbanot is simple. Just wait. But the Levim couldn't wait because there has to be Shira with the Korban that's brought, the Korban, the Tamid that's brought. So every year with the Tamid, they would bring the Rosh Chodesh and the Rosh Hashanah, and the Levim would sing Kodesh. But today, they didn't know what to do. So that means that every single Rosh Hashanah, they would bring the Rosh Hashanah offerings only after the witnesses showed up. It might be 10 in the morning, it might be 12, it might be 1, it might be 2 in the afternoon. It sometimes took a while for the offerings, and it took a while, therefore, to know if it was Rosh Hashanah. What were the people davening? They were probably davening Rosh Hashanah. But as far as the Korbanot, they weren't offered Rosh Hashanah until the witnesses actually came, because that's the right, that you can't offer Rosh Hashanah when it's not certainly Rosh Hashanah. That's the story.
It seems like a lot, a big process to be able to do in the short time left in the day. I mean, if you were going to leave to the last...
Yeah, I don't know how much time it would take, but if you have enough koanim and the animals are already, I assume in half an hour you can do the whole thing.
Yeah?
Okay, how much was it? Look, we are looking at the verses, right? What do you have to bring in Rosh Hashanah? Yeah. Chapter 29.
A bull, a ram, seven lambs, and all the, the meal and stuff, that's easy.
Okay, I can arrange that if I have enough koanim and the animals are already.
You bring them up and cut them up real quick.
They have to be slaughtered even earlier, not like at that moment, but you could just do them at the beginning of the day and not have them as...
I assume not. Because the shechita has to be with kavanah, the right kavanah. So I assume that you can't. But even the shechita, again, they're trained. They remember that on Pesach, on Erev Pesach, they would be able to offer 2 million animals within a few hours.
Bloodbath.
Yeah, we have, Roman historians who have told us how much blood was flowing on Erev Pesach. Happy it wasn't there.
Did you say 2 million?
Yeah. And this is only a few animals.
What did they do with all the meat?
The Korban Pesach. You had lots of people eating it. You know, I think I exaggerate. It was 2 million people, not 2 million
right.
animals. I'm sorry. 2 million people in each group of six or seven or eight has an animal, so divided by six or seven. I shouldn't have said 2 million animals. Okay. So, why don't we take the remaining 10 minutes to learn the Rashi on this Mishnah. And Rashi basically says something that I explained earlier, but it's an important point, so why don't we just go over it. So you see the Rashi? Rashi is over here. Rashi. You should have your own sheet if you want to.
No.
No, you do have it.
You have it. So, Rashi says, Noagim oto hayom kodesh. They made that day kodesh. Remember, the Mishnah said, this day and tomorrow, if the witnesses don't come. And he says, Barosh Hashanah Kai. Of Rosh Hashanah, it's referring. Right? It's not every day of every month of the year. This particular takanav, not accepting the witnesses after Mincha time, is only on Rosh Hashanah. De Misha Chashcha, Lele Yisrim V'Teisha, Nagubo Kodesh. That word after the comma, De Mi She Chashcha. That, from that, became dark on the night of 29, Nagubo Kodesh. In other words, the 29th of the month, when it became nighttime, which means it became the 30th, they Nagubo Kodesh, they made it holy. Right? Just like we said. Shema, lest, Yavo Edim Machar, Vikadshuhu Veitin, lest come Edim tomorrow morning. Notice the 30th in the morning. Vikadshuhu Veitin, the Beitin will sanctify it. Venimsa Shalaila Hazeh, Leil Yom Tovu, and it will turn out that this night was Yom Tov retroactively. Right? That's what we have to have. Make it holy. Don't do melacha. V'chein lemachar. Kol hayom ad mincha. And so, the next thing is, in the morning, all day until the mincha, you have to assume it's holy, lest the witnesses come. V'imbau edim kodem mincha. And if witnesses came before mincha time, Beit Din mikadshim et ha-chodesh. The Beit Din sanctifies the month. And it is known that well it was made Kodesh. In other words, that properly, that what we did last night and this morning, we did properly. And if came, in other words, the witnesses from Mincha time and henceforth, even though Beit Din will not accept them, according to the Takana, to sanctify today. V'yabru et Elul, and they will make Elul pregnant. Remember, pregnant means it gets an extra day. So the 30th turns out to be part of Elul. V'katshu l'machar, and they'll sanctify tomorrow. The 31st will be the first of Tishrei. Afal pichen Gam gomrim oto kedusha. Those are the important words. Even thus, we finish it as holy. We don't ride our motorcycles the last 2.5 hours when we know that the witnesses won't be accepted, and therefore, in truth, it's really whole. We still can't ride our motorcycles. Rather, gomrim oto bekedusha. If you began it in kedusha, you finish it in kedusha. We finish it in kedusha. Vasur b'mlacha. It's forbidden in mlacha. Forbidden to ride motorcycles those 2.5 hours. Dilma'ati lizulzule bay, lest they come to zulzule, to make light of it. That is, next year, make light of it. Lishana ba, for the next year. Yasubo mlacha kol yom, such that they do mlacha all day. In other words, if people are now were given the feeling that their first 22 hours of keeping Kodesh was for naught, then next year they'll say, we'll take our chances and we won't keep it Kodesh until the witnesses come. We don't want that to happen. Therefore, we don't tell the people to go motorcycle riding. So the whole day is, as a takana de Rabbanan, the whole day is Kodesh. So what we don't want them to do is to next year what was the word I used? To make light of it. Right. V'yomru ashtakad nahadnu bo kodesh chinam. They'll say, last year we kept the chodesh for no reason. This year we won't keep chodesh. U'mina mincha v'lamala chazarnu v'nagnu bo chodesh. So the people say, last year we did it kodesh for nothing, and then we kept it as whole after mincha, so this year we'll just take our chances. No, that should not happen, and therefore you have to keep it kodesh.
What's
the ashtakim? Ashtakad means last year. It's the proper literary word for last year. Okay, that's basically the story. Any questions, comments, objections? No? Okay. Chodesh tov.
Chodesh.